standing facing Logan, who's drinking a beer with his eyes directly looking at Kurt's crotch. He's not looking at Kurt's eyes. He's not listening to what Kurt's saying. He is looking at his dick. Hello and welcome to the Incomplete Geeks, a gay geek podcast. I'm Nick. That's John. Welcome to a very special episode, episode 20. Let's talk about sex, men.
X-Men.
Sexy men. We're talking about X-Men, the thirstiest, horniest, hottiest X-Men that I have been having over in the 20 plus whatever years that I have been reading the comic book.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
So like with the video games episode, this is by no means an exhaustive list. Like, there are hundreds of X-Men, many of whom are thirsty and fun to thirst over. So it will be possibly a series, part one, or just, we get through.
Yeah, we'll get
whatever we get through today. And so kind of, I didn't intend it to be, but the kind of ones that I've been looking at are kind of fairly obvious, but they're also the ones that I looked at. I mean, I was reading comics.
Read?
Growing up. So these are the kind of 80s and 90s characters that were not my sexual awakening, but also very much like, oh, I see. Interesting.
I have inner stirrings in my bowels.
Yeah, like thoughts and feelings. So that's what we're going to cover today. And not cool. In any particular order. I have lots of pictures of some characters because they have different ways in which they were sexy.
Like throughout the years kind of thing?
Sort of. But all of them, all the ones that I'm talking about are kind of encapsulated in 80s because I was reading like reprints, and 90s is what I was reading live. We don't really go past that because I feel like it's a whole different thing. So I'm just going to keep this. These are the thirsty X-Men that I looked at.
Great. That I looked at, and
you know what that means. And, you know, they had an influence
on your penis.
On all of it.
Yeah. I get it. I'm excited. I want to see this.
Not as excited as I was. Let me tell you.
I guess not.
But the thing is, like, none of these characters are my favorite characters or ones I particularly love, because as a gay man, I obviously love the female characters the most. So these are just man candy. So they were drawn in a certain way that I'm like, yeah, that's a hot piece of ass. And yeah, so I don't know if this is going to work.
I have questions, but I'm holding it in, so I want to ask questions. I'll ask it when it seems appropriate, because I want to ask you about like certain characters. Maybe something will come up when you mention a character and I'll be like, well, what does this mean about, you know, the artistry, or like, has it changed nowadays kind of thing? So
that's a good point, because I feel, just having gone through, so like I went to make sure, because I wanted to make sure I had like the screen grabs of the issues I used to read as a kid and the ones that I vividly remembered. And it does seem like, again, because a lot of them were from the 80s, it was a lot sluttier, a lot hoochier. Like, it was short shorts and like cutoffs and everything like that, because that was the 80s. And so that's just kind of how they dressed. And they don't really do that. They're a lot more buttoned up in the 2000s. And yes, they're on Krakoa and having three ways, but they're always in uniform. Like, it doesn't seem as like letting it all hang out. Maybe that's because Chris Claremont's not writing it. And
I was just going to say, is that a result of the era that's changed, or the writers and drawers?
I think partially the fashion, like the way you would draw them, but also because there was one central writer back in the 80s. So it was, it was not complicated. It's like, this is a book, one single book. And then there was New Mutants as well, but they were 12 and 15, so we don't talk about... Oh, I do talk about them. Oh, sorry.
We'll see. We'll get there.
The main X-Men book, you know, there was just one of them. So the writer could take his time and really talk about, like, the character. And it would seem a lot more casual. Like, they didn't have to always be, like, fight, story. It was like, you know, the famous character scene in the show. A trope in X-Men that I'll start. Should I start with that? I'll start with that.
Yeah.
A trope in X-Men is, especially if Chris Claremont's writing it, is they play softball. So
okay, that's not...
Yeah.
If you gave me like a million years to guess what you're about to say, I would not get to softball.
Yeah, you'll often see them like, they're playing sports, or usually softball. And like they use their powers, or sometimes they don't, and that sort of thing. Okay, I have to find the right picture.
Now you know how I was feeling like when I was trying to find photos to send to you,
because I've labeled them all, but I forgot. Okay, so this is the panel I want to show you. So this is an example of, sorry dear listeners, we'll have to explain it to you.
Yeah,
let's hope it
works.
We
can do that.
So this is the full panel. When you get it, and you'll see, why isn't this fucking working? Where's the send button? There we go, down here.
The little arrow thing. Bloop.
Yes, dear. I just shrunk a donkey deck. So that is a panel from a very standard, this is the issue where Cyclops challenges Storm for leadership of the X-Men. And it is just like a filler bit where they do some like character growth, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
But they're just playing softball in the garden as they do. And Colossus just, you know, has his top off, because you would, because I guess people do that. And I just, it was because it's so casual, you know, they don't have, it doesn't have to be a huge fight. It doesn't have to be a big end of the world thing. Like, they're just playing softball. So they're like, yeah, just have him be topless and just have him like rocking around.
I mean,
with that, and then have him swing his bat.
I'll swing my bat as well. If I had a body like that.
Oh my God. Exactly. Let me get... So that's Colossus. So basically, if you're an X-Men fan, you might remember it. And it's just Colossus topless. It looks like he's in jeans, so that doesn't seem like a good...
Well, this is the 80s, so like, no. I mean, it probably was jeans. But like, I'm just looking at like also those Wolverine and vest top, which is, you know... Look, I mean, the shoulders are really sort of obscene how grossly big they are. And is he staring
but that's
at
the thing.
Jean
that's
Grey's the thing ass or something like that as well?
Oh, that's Kitty.
Was it Kitty?
She was 13, so let's not.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
That's Kitty Pryde. Yeah, so let's...
I'm so astounded I dropped my...
Let's not talk about that. Yeah, so let's start with Colossus that randomly, because and he's a great one, because of his power, he's a hulking beast, and that's always been the way.
Do you think his powers make him very muscular, or does he have to work out? Because if he was like a skinny twig and he could turn his body into like metal, organic metal, you could, that could still work. It just wouldn't be less impressive.
I think that'd be interesting, because if you're super strong, like how on earth do you like build muscle, because nothing's heavy, like there's no resistance to it, so it'd be really difficult to do that. It's often implied, I think Dazzler said it in an issue once, that I'm a mutant, so like I'm naturally a little bit stronger, so
right, okay,
that was
kind of like how like in The Boys the suits are just a bit more durable,
basically. Yeah, it's, they're not invulnerable, but they're like a little bit peak,
sure.
Which apparently I found out, according to like young people, peak means bad.
Like P-E-A-K?
I don't know. I'm hanging out with too many young people.
Right.
Anyway, so like his power obviously like is to be massive, hulking and strong. And for a lot of it, especially in the 80s, his uniform, he didn't have one. Like, you know, he started in the 70s with the kind of like...
That V-shaped kind of thing.
V-shaped thingamajig.
Which I really wanted to turn into a Halloween costume once, but I never could never get work up the energy.
Yeah.
And then paint like the rest of my body silver.
That's a lot of effort. But when they did the Outback era, which is one of my favorites, and if you're an Outback era fan, X-Men, you know what I'm talking about. They just put him in pants. Just put him in pants. Because for that period, he...
You mean underwear pants?
Sorry, yes, underpants.
Underpants, yeah, okay.
Just a pair of pants. Namor style. Because for that time, he couldn't turn back into human form. He'd been injured during a fight with the Marauder, so he was always armored up, so he couldn't turn into a human. So they kind of left him like that. I'm really annoyed there's not thumbnails for any of my stuff, so I'm gonna have to guess which one this is.
This is why you need to label them. Like I did. So
I labeled them all, but they're
labeled them all Hot Man. Hot X-Man.
They're all pretty,
Hot X-Man
pretty much similar. Yeah. Bear with.
Shirtless hot okay. X-Man.
Okay, so this is from an issue when he was in the Outback era, and this is perfect rogueness.
Rogue.
Identifying how, lordy, do you realize how hot you are? That kind of thing.
Oh, lordy.
Exactly. So he would just wear shorts.
Thank you, Rogue. I appreciate your concern.
I appreciate all of this. So I'm going to show you. I'm going to just shove a load of these ones because
I love his like little high tops as well. He's got like little red socks.
Well, he spends this whole issue like in shorts.
I will say this is a bit unrealistic as well because look how broad his shoulders are and then how thin his waist is.
Oh, wait. Okay. So like here's some of him. Sorry, dear listeners. This is more pictures.
Oh, lordy. Big you.
Of when he eventually turns into human form. And he's just, again, it's the 80s and he's like a Russian athlete. He's enormous in...
So he's on something.
He's a mutant. He's in tiny, tiny orange shorts. And like, Magic is my favorite character. So obviously, he's her brother. And so he was in this. I'm like, yeah, I got it for Magic. And then this pops up. I'm like, Piotr. Oh,
I'm like waiting for it. You sent me a couple.
And that's him just like saying goodbye and this stuff. Wait for this one. And this is like him getting into a portal. And it's like a shot of his back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, back muscles. Wouldn't it be funny if he like finally turned back into human form and it was just like dad bod because he hadn't
just like gutted and shriveled and everything like that. And so he's just buff beyond words. But that's kind of his power. So that's kind of the whole point. He is the quintessential kind of like himbo. He's a nice guy. All sorts of muscle, and that's all sorts of great.
He's very loving and comforting, and in spite of his hard exterior.
Exactly, and we all like a bit of that. I know he's in the Quiet Council at the moment in the new X-Men era, but he kind of disappeared for a while. They gave him a beard as well, is the point. Like, they brought him back, and there's a great line, I can't remember it word for word, sorry, that Emma Frost said, and just like thinking in her head, and it's like, Peter's there, gorgeous as always, or whatever. And
he's
just like beautiful, and now he's got a beard, and just like picking up an axe or something, picking up a hoe, and he's just like all muscle and
just putting it over his shoulder, like, I'm going to work on the farm now.
Because he's like ripped, muscly, topless all the time, but he's also really sensitive. And after everything he's been through, he's a little bit broken and sad, and it's just like,
so it's like, oh, come home, Daddy. We can take care of you.
All of that. So I hope they kind of use... I mean, Colossus is kind of a boring power, but he's...
Well, they all were back then, weren't they?
...an archetype character.
Yeah.
Just like the...
Strong man.
The strong man who with a kind heart vibes, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So he was just around a lot. So Colossus was because his and when he was in civilians, like he would change into Colossus and then all his clothes would rip off and he'd come back and he'd be like, oh no, my breast, you know, my boobs were out and oh my arms. It's like, oh no. So wonderful 1980s style. That was
learned from She-Hulk, latex is what you need.
Exactly. He needed unstable molecules. He needed outfits made of unstable molecules. So
is that an Incredibles thing?
No, that's a Reed Richards patent design. Like, all their uniforms are made from unstable molecules, so they adjust and everything like that. And your lore.
Okay,
yes. So, Colossus was around for a lot of it. And because I was reading mostly reprints of the 80s, he was a mainstay of the team. Just wander around in his pants, just being muscly and gorgeous.
I mean, why not?
Oh, my God. And you're like, looking at that every time. I was like, I just want those powers just so I'm ripped and muscly and gorgeous.
Of course.
Alas, it did not happen. Alas.
It's harder work for us.
Another kind of sexual awakening. I don't know what it was. Like, character from the 90s. So I loved Generation X. I don't know if you know about that. So when they brought back the White Queen, they put her in a team teaching kids again, that sort of stuff. And the big crossover event, whatever. And was with Banshee. Who was like this, he was like an older character, the ginger character who'd been around since the 70s with Storm and Wolverine, blah, 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 blah. I recently found out, thanks to Cerebro podcast, that like me, all the gays are thirsting over Daddy Banshee. Like,
really?
Because let me Let me show you this.
So this he's is... whatever happened to Sean? Is it Sean Cassidy? Is that right?
Sean Cassidy. Yeah. Well, he's had a troubled thing. He keeps dying and coming back, and because he was going out with Moira MacTaggert, and that did not end well. So this is a shot from the Phalanx Covenant crossover that started Gen X, and
this I really was panel... want. Oh hello. Oh hello. That was...
And it's just, I don't know what it is about that shot. I mean, I know it's the abs, but it's also like he's a grown up, and that's a scene where he's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe I'm too old for it. As he like puts on his sweats and his abs poke through his outfit.
Definitely a bit of crotch bulge as well.
Oh, you say that.
Again, wait. It's like really broad shoulders. Wait. Look at those shoulder muscles. And like no waist. That's, wait. You know.
So further on in the next issue, like they're invading a SHIELD headquarters and they get caught. And then this was the panel. Look where that guy's gun is firing.
Sorry, that's going to be really loud.
Clink. Clink.
The little sort of like slots, the V shape of... Oh, yeah, man, that is not, who's going to have a body like that? Like this, okay, obviously very good illustration, but if it's a real life person, look how thick his arms are. And his arm is bigger than his waist. I'm exaggerating, but
yeah. Really, well, they're pretty close. Yeah, so that's Joe Mandarira. I can't pronounce his name. He's one of my favorite artists, and he does quite accentuated action-y shots, but obviously he draws Sean Cassidy like this. And I was really happy to find out that other people had been lusting over him the whole time, because again, he is massively beautifully muscular, because all of them are, but he has, because he's older, he has this kind of self-doubt. Like he leaves the X-Men pretty early. He's like, oh, I'm too old to be here. I shouldn't be here. That kind of stuff. And then he's like the teacher. So when he comes back to teach the kids in Generation X with the new generation, which is when I was reading it. So he was like a father figure, kind of soft, kind character-wise, but still looked like that, and hanging around with Emma Frost. So there was a lot of sexual tension there.
Okay.
Even though it wasn't allowed to happen, and then she ended up with Cyclops, blah, blah, blah. So I was really happy to find out that like the rest of the gay community are all perving over Professor Sean Cassidy.
And this is from the 80s as well?
This is the 90s. This will be from the 90s.
Okay.
Which was a very much a period of hyper masculine, giant muscles, big guns pointed at Sean Cassidy's dick.
Yep.
But lots of testosterone-y kind of vibes. And he's hard, but he's not the Wolverine. He's not Cable. He's not this hyper masculine, like, you know, shooting stuff. He's a dad. He has a daughter, widowed wife, you know, that sort of stuff. It's very much that kind of like, I'm sexy and hot, but I'm also like, I'll stroke your hair as you fall asleep, kind of.
So that's kind of more appealing to you then, isn't it? It's just not just the body, but it's also like, what do you do? You know, what do you, you know, if I was going to cuddle with you in bed, it's not just going to be like a big block of bricks. It's going to be like
Wolverine
something
that... wouldn't cuddle.
Exactly.
Like 80s Wolverine wouldn't cuddle, and everyone was obsessed with Cable as well. Like he wouldn't even show up. He'd body slide by one, he'd be out of there. So it's definitely like, not unintentionally, these characters are the ones that are buff and sexy but have like a softer touch to them. So they're the ones that I was perving over. Quick segue then, let's have a look see to so this is an 80s one, and this is why I don't know if you can read it.
I can zoom in.
Push the button. So this is from Paul Smith and Chris Claremont's run, Nightcrawler, and we've talked about Nightcrawler before.
Yeah,
two fingers, two toes, two dicks. And
I know you have my Bamf doll to keep you company and protect you, but I thought, this being a Christmas and all, you might, for a change, prefer the real thing. Okay.
Do you see what Amanda says?
Yum. She says,
yes!
Yeah.
So, like...
Wait, who's Amanda?
Amanda Sefton is his girlfriend / his sister.
What? That's a lot of information to process. Wait, what?
he was raised...
Adopted sister.
Yes. He was raised with her. And they fuck. So later on in that issue, it's the first appearance of the Morlocks. Okay. Classic X-Men. Brilliant, obviously. Brilliant episode. Episode? Issue.
Does she have two vaginas then? Like, how does it work?
She's a sorceress, so she could have, like, okay, as many as you want. No, but she does have two holes anyway. So. She doesn't need to be a sorceress to have two holes.
It took me a second to think, what? What are you talking about?
This is how gay we are.
Like, oh my gosh.
But where? Where's the...
Well, hang on a second. So the orientation of his penile.
No, it's never been confirmed.
Up above, or is it like?
Would you prefer them side by side? I prefer them one above the other.
Well, I'm not talking about preference. I'm talking about what his biology is now. If you say he's got two dicks, is it like because they're like?
I think it makes more sense to have them one above, one below.
Like physically, it makes more sense. But what if they were next to each other? They have to fuck her sideways.
Maybe he fucks her sideways. He's very nimble. I believe he could do it. He could do it.
And a third hole for his tail. No.
Oh my god. No, because
what have we done?
He could use the tail to do other stuff.
To like tickle. Is that what you
like? I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works, but it might be useful. That's all I'm saying.
I will research some fanfic and tell you.
I'm sure there's plenty of it. So I didn't actually get a photo of Angel. Because this is a great kind of one, because he's the one who's kidnapped by the Morlocks. And he's then like tied up in his like Jesus loincloth pants, like just that. And
yeah.
Angel is famously like he's ripped and shredded and everyone fancies him.
And rich.
But like when Nightcrawler has to go and like help, so Angel's girlfriend says like, well, help and that sort of stuff. And Professor X makes him go. He's in the bathtub with Amanda. Having mm-hmm. champagne, being naked, and having giggle sexy time. And so Professor X is like, oh my god, someone needs to go help. So he has to teleport out and go and help. And of course he's naked.
Mm-hmm.
So he's naked the whole time. And he's like, oh my god, it's so cold because it's December in New York. And it's like, I have to hurry and freeze. And it's like, bam thing. But like, the smoke is just there and everything like that.
Oh, I see.
And like, she falls out the window and he grabs her and bamps back to the bathtub and like splashes into it with Amanda there and everything like that. Anyway, as there's a ton, like, that's like not the best example of sexy Nightcrawler, but it's kind of like the first one that I came across. Because he's always like swaggering around naked because you can't really tell. It doesn't seem as gratuitous. You can draw him blue and naked, like Beast was blue and like in pants.
Mostly naked, yeah. No one cares. You couldn't tell he was naked?
Well, no, like you couldn't tell if he's like topless or whatever like that because he's like drawn blue, so you can do whatever you want with him. So
okay,
that's like a minor kind of one. Like obviously we love Nightcrawler. Hopefully he gets rid of his Catholicism. I made a mistake. Hang on, sorry for the clicks, everyone. I want to drag this one.
I'm sure I want more clicks than you do.
This is the infamous. I think it was a variant cover.
I've seen this.
Yeah. I don't know if this is canon or what this is supposed to be, but it's the panel or cover where Nightcrawler is, correct me if I'm wrong, most definitely naked.
Oh yeah. Like there's no waistband or anything.
Nothing. You see the shadow on his blue ass on the mm-hmm. outer rim and everything like that. Standing facing Logan, who's drinking a beer with his eyes directly
looking surly.
At Kurt's crotch. Straight into it. He's not looking at Kurt's eyes. He's not listening to what Kurt's saying.
I don't know. A little bit debatable, I suppose. His face is downwards, but he's looking up a little bit. So I could believe him.
Why? But where is this? Like, is this in his house?
A dream, like, I guess. It's very misty.
We're in a bar. I like to think it's in a bar and Kurt just shows up completely naked. And he's like, what difference does it make? I'm a blue fucking demon. Why not have my multiple dicks out at the same time?
Like, what are people going to do?
What are you going to do? It's like, oh my god, you're naked. It's like, oh my god, you're a blue demon.
Yeah, basically.
What difference does it make? So there's tons of Nightcrawler ones that I could have gone down the rabbit hole of, but that wasn't one I had at the time. So it was, I'm just kind of keeping it to the me as a child and the panels and images.
Yeah. So when did you see this one then? This is more of a recent one.
This is more of a recent one. So I'm kind of focusing on the when he was teleporting around naked and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Of course. More of that. I wonder what Logan is holding in his hand as well.
It's got a beer. Oh, but what? Oh,
could
mean?
Be a, no, no. It could be like the top part of another beer in his right hand.
Well, it's just like hanging around there. Anyway.
Now Wolverine in that photo also has like a realistic body as well. Not like the 80s, 90s.
I mean, the big to shoulder. A degree, but it's still enormous and shredded. Let's
be honest. That is true. I suppose the detail is different.
So while we're on the topic of like inappropriate ones, let's go to the New Mutants briefly. New Mutants was one of my favorite titles because Magic was obviously in it and Danny was in it. And mm-hmm. I love Karma and Magma. Everyone hates Magma, but whatever. So Ileana was in it. So I love the New Mutants. There's a little bit of Sunspot. Sorry, a little bit of Cannibal, a little bit of Cypher. Fine. But obviously the stud of the show was Roberto, was Sunspot.
I thought Sunspot was a Japanese character.
Sunfire.
Oh, right. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, I'm dumb. Sorry. See, there you go. That's my dumb part moment.
No. So this is Sunspot.
I don't know Sunspot, actually.
Sunspot is Brazilian. He has the ability to absorb solar energy to become incredibly strong. This is also good because it makes him look like a teenager, like appropriately aged. But this is the kind of things. Mm-hmm. When I was a teenager at the time, or a very young person. He looks quite young there, which is gross to be talking about now, but remember I was like 12 when I saw this. So
fine.
In his speedos because it was the 80s, but muscular, but not enormous, but still ridiculously muscular for whatever.
And confident enough to have open shirts as well with no chest hair.
But that's a huge thing. Like the naked stuff is fun, but it's more about like the confidence when they would just like have a little bit open, or like there's like, I'm not worried about my body because obviously it's amazing. So this is another screen cap from, this is the Asgardian Wars. Sorry, people listening can't see it. There was a picture of Roberto in his speedos. And then there's this one, which isn't nude, but it's perfectly moving on from what you were talking about. He's just like, he's like won a battle and he's like hanging out with the bar wenches and he's just like, they're drinking, which I mean, shouldn't be because he's very, very young. But he's got his shirt all the way open and that look of swag in his eyes. Look how hot I am. These chicks love it. And I've just got subtly got my boobs out, that sort of thing.
And the one on the right there is grabbing a bottle.
Suggestively grabbing a bottle.
Yeah.
Precariously placed over his body.
Yeah. Which would be the same, you know, position as if she was wanking him off.
Yeah.
Is the way that we can like share these images like on the like maybe. Links? There
maybe.
Must be a way.
We'll think about it. Okay. Interesting, like Roberto, Beto, Sunspot. It was difficult. So when I saw him in Asgardian Wars, that's when I was like, right, he's a hottie. But it was weird because a lot of the artists drew him very differently. And I know that was a lot of controversy when they made the film because the guy who played him was super fucking hot. He was also super fucking white.
Which film?
New Mutants.
The recent one.
It has only been one.
Who's Sunspot now? I mean, I was told not to watch it because it was terrible.
Yeah, no. Anya Taylor-Joy was perfect as Ileana, but it makes me sad because she'll never get to play her again because the film was mediocre and it's been cancelled. But Sunspot was played by a super hot guy, but a white guy.
Right,
and
okay.
The character is supposed to definitely be Brazilian, but black Brazilian. And some artists drew him like that, but some, like, I feel like the ones I showed you from Asgardian Wars, he looks quite black there. Others, he's just super white, and it looks like a different character, and people would draw them quite differently, and he would have different swag depending on who drew him, that sort of stuff. So,
okay.
That was a bit,
I get it,
weird and a bit difficult to kind of keep track of which character you like, because he did look like a different person a lot of the time, which was a shame. Because he's
super. I mean, the tone
but
of the skin.
But titties out
is,
every time. Titties out whenever he could. So respect to that. I feel he still does that to this day. Plus, he's like a millionaire. So
what? He is now, or he always was?
He always was. He always came from money, and now he's inherited his dad's money. So he's like rich and hot.
Fair enough. I mean, if I had that kind of money, I'd be all full of swag as well.
Yeah, rich and sexy and with superpowers. Fuck off. I've got a couple more that I'm going to go through. On the night. So this is a different one for me. So I was never really into this character, but there's a couple of reasons. There's like eight reasons why.
Eight reasons why. Is one of them because after a 14-year-old.
Each ab is a reason why. So I was never into Gambit. Like he's one of those blokey kind of characters that's I don't think made for me.
Okay.
But I do remember seeing, you know, because I was obsessed with Rogue. She's one of my favorite characters of all time. She's incredible. So you can't really talk about Gambit without talking about Rogue. Mm-hmm. And one of the early meets when they first meet is when they're playing basketball and he's playing basketball with his top off. Yeah, and Jim Lee, in true 90s style, drew him in roided out, ripped. His obliques.
I'm looking at them right now and I'm like, what the heck?
Look, the panel where he's like, the one where he's holding Rogue. I don't know why he blew up the thing or something. Like, his shoulder muscles, every inch of him is sculpted and incredible. So
it's like he's got some infection because everything, he's like so many bumps and hives on it or
it's
something.
Like, one, two, oh, he's only got, oh my God, like everything. And I mean, that was very important to his character that he was all swag. Which was like the point, I know, that sort of thing. But also from that episode of X-Men the Animated Series where you see him and Rogue coming back from the pool and he's just wearing like a dark green Speedo and sunglasses indoors for some bizarre reason. But I appreciate that they put that in for us just in case.
Oh, the last one? Yeah. I don't know what that is. That does not even look like Gambit. I mean, like,
it's from the episode 4, Captive Hearts. Captive Hearts? Where they get... Oh, that's a Morlock one. Remember that?
Yes. I don't remember this particular scene, though.
It's just like a cutaway. It's also... It's the bit... Sorry, I'm drinking water. It's the bit where Wolverine's looking at the picture of Jean that's now a meme.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like stroking one side of it and that people use as a meme. And then they cut away to that. It's like, oh, they'll be back when they're, you know...
Yeah.
Done. Meaning they're fucking. And then he like slices...
Wolverine when they're done.
You're a Gambit fan, though, aren't you?
I am. Are you sure this isn't Cyclops?
No.
Why's he got glasses on then? Color hair.
No, Cyclops is captured. I know my animated series. Okay, that's definitely him. I don't know why. Lazy artists.
I'm actually rewatching it all. I'm still working my way through it.
I will rewatch a lot of it when in the lead up to the new series.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the first couple of seasons and then the finale just to kind of get caught up. Because a lot of it stands up. Anyway. And I know Gambit was designed to be a stud muffin.
Yeah, I don't know why I liked him so much, but he had this, I don't know if it was just the cool power or like his, like I was attracted to Gambit and I don't think it was like a sexual attraction, but most of it was because of the animated series. And I just liked his powers, thought they were cool. And like his attitude was just sort of really sort of laid back and sort of everything just came effortlessly to him. I probably was like a bit sort of attracted to him in my own, you know, young person way, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
He's absolutely the cool kid, though.
Like, yeah.
He's fit, tall, confident. Nothing bothers him. Everything's easy. He's like, fuck you, but also fuck me kind of vibes.
Yeah. I wanted to be that, I suppose, maybe.
Yeah. So he's kind of like off-brand for the other ones that I've been talking about because he's not... that, but I couldn't talk about Thirsty X-Men without talking about that like 90s panel where his abs and his obliques are just,
I mean, that was ridiculous.
Incredible. He does have long hair and I know you don't like that.
I don't like that, yeah, but it's the thing is it's usually in a ponytail as well.
Oh, gross.
I don't think he always has it long though.
Well, it's short now, I think, like modern him. That was just very 90s to have like long kind of hair.
I'd love to get like a costume of just like the long trench coat and get like a balaclava or whatever, called.
That's fairly easy to do, I imagine.
I know, but it's effort.
You're enormous, so that's a long cloak.
I know.
This is from the same sort of run, and I just want to highlight, just in case anyone's interested, Daddy Magneto was another important one.
Yeah.
Because again, when I was reading it, the reprint run of Classic X-Men, it was when he took over for Giles, and we've kind of talked about it before in the Queer X-Men one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the titty top, which we've talked about, where he had like the vest one and he had his like pecs kind of bulging out the side.
Right, yeah.
Google Magneto titty top. It's absolutely worth it. And he's actually wearing that outfit in X-Men 97 when he comes back. They put him in that. Less titty, though. Like, he's got respectable titty as opposed to his boobs out, which is upsetting.
When you say X-Men 97, you mean...
Is that what it is? It's 97, right? The new show. The restart.
Yeah. I don't know. I think so. But it's not out yet, is it?
No, but they showed at Comic-Con, they showed some stills from it. And he's in that outfit rather than the old Magneto outfit.
What am I searching? Magneto titty top?
X-Men, yeah, Magneto titty top. And see if you see... it's from X-Men 200. Trial of Magneto was the issue.
Nope, a lot of fan art. That's not what I want.
But again, it was... And also thinking about that, because that's the Magneto I read, was when he was part of the X-Men rather than when he was the stereotypical villain.
Yeah.
So again, it was that, look how incredibly buff and shredded and sexy he was. But yeah, he's also a grown-up, very much, you know, he's a fucking Holocaust survivor. Like, he's the teacher. He used to be the villain. He's so wise. He's very intelligent. And, you know, when he was teaching the New Mutants at the time as well. And so he's like the teacher, father figure, that sort of stuff. So, yes.
Yeah, was, definitely giving off, like, daddy vibes.
Gray hair, Daddy Magneto. My God. Like, I can't imagine who they're going to cast as Daddy Magneto when he eventually comes to the MCU. But that is a wonderful opportunity to just tap into that thirsty market.
Oh, God, yeah.
I really hope, like, I love you, Sir Ian, and you were a wonderful Magneto, but you also weren't Jewish or German, sexy. So I feel like there's a lot they can do with Magneto if they do it right.
They need somebody who's not
is important to talk about.
Yeah, they need somebody who's like not that old to cast, so that
he just has to look daddy enough, because daddy enough. No one's going to be a World War II Holocaust survivor.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they have to sort of,
they'll time travel, de-age him. It's fine. He's been de-aged before. It's in character with this comic book. That's fine.
Fair enough.
Resurrected,
but again, or whatever else.
But again, and it's not just that, you know, the way it was presented, like, this is X-Men number one, the image you see, and they're on Asteroid M, and he's just strolling down the stairs in his, like, kimono dressing gown open with his muscle pecs just billowing out.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the fun. Again, Chris Claremont is one of Chris Claremont's last episodes. It's the casual nature. Like, he kind of likes to show the heroes and the villains in a natural setting, and they're like so chilled and relaxed. Yes, of course, yeah. I'm in my underwear. Hello, who are you? Oh, sorry.
I'm at home in my pajamas.
How embarrassing.
With the flowing strings coming off of my robe.
Oh, God.
With the really big sleeves.
I'm still wet from the shower. Oh, excuse me.
My chest hair is still moist. You can see his chest hair, though.
It was the 90s. You kind of had to start giving them chest hair. That's what they wanted.
And it's dark as well, considering his hair is so white, the top of his head, you know.
A healthy chest hair. So I love that kind of, like, casual, oops, you just caught me on the way to the drawing room kind of vibes, rather than, you know, not wearing an outfit because they just walk around with their top off.
It's all
like that peekaboo kind of.
If you had if you, Nick, had so much power, you could, like, live on an asteroid, you would wear whatever you wanted to. You'd walk around naked if you wanted to.
Absolutely. I would. If I look like that and I'm like 100 years old, don't you dare wear clothes. How fucking dare you? It's insulting to the people who come before you.
You can't see this gorgeous body. I must keep it covered with clothes at all times. Like, no.
No, just absolutely not. Oh, absolutely not. So again, that's kind of 90s.
Okay.
Now, I think that's everyone apart from the main one I wanted to cover. So this, I've got like 12 different ones of him. Oh, no, I don't. It's not that many. I would like to talk about Cyclops.
Yeah, let's do it.
Which I feel like a lot of people, especially because of the films, they're very much like, oh, the bad boy Logan's way hotter. And yes, Hugh Jackman is hot, but also James is fucking hot as well. So let's not discount
James,
that.
James Marsden.
James Marsden. Marsden is also super fucking hot. So
I mean, I just like James a bit of a, more of a bad boy, sort of with a bit of scruff.
See, that's...
too clean-shaven. He was too clean-cut.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm so glad it organically happened that way.
Show me... you're going to show me a Cyclops with a beard?
Oh, there's got to... Well, I don't know if he's got a beard in them. I love that because, obviously, Cyclops is always been... They keep calling him the Boy Scout. He has always been kind of pushed forward as the wholesome... good guy character and that sort of stuff originally, and then also again quite recently. But if
which
you
is why he needs to, which is why he needs to get fucked by Wolverine.
He's definitely been pegged by Emma Frost, whatever.
Or the Alpha.
But if you read the comics, not just watch the films, Cyclops is absolutely a fuckboy. Like he portrays himself as, you know, because he's like Professor X's star pupil, whatever. He's not a good guy. He's absolutely a fuckboy. Look at the way the relationship he had with Madeline Pryor is the first example. Like, I don't know if you know who Madeline Pryor is.
I've heard the name. I couldn't tell you what she does.
I won't go into
it. Is it Hellfire Gala?
No, long before that. Okay. She was introduced as like a red herring to get him written out. Basically, but turns out it was Jean Grey's clone when Jean Grey was thought to be dead after Dark Phoenix Saga. All that kind of stuff. You know, like the second Jean gets written back, he ditches his wife, ditches his son, and goes back to Jean and like completely fucks her off. Without a second thought. And again, married to Jean for ages, has one emotional breakdown, and then has an affair with Emma Frost. And I don't blame you because it's Emma Frost, but completely ditches. And like, he is a complete fuckboy. And I think there was another example, but I've forgotten it because I'm getting excited. I want to show you something.
Okay, show me. When you say fuckboy, you mean like he's like he just is a bad boy, or do you mean he's a toy?
Like he's got everyone convinced that he's like, I don't know if you had one of these, but I fucking definitely did. Gary fucking Nixon, if you're listening to this, I am talking to you. You know damn well who you are.
What like, this podcast is really about.
This is really about dealing with my high school trauma. Like the popular kid at school, who is head boy, all the teachers love, that sort of thing, like drama group, all that kind of thing, like super jock professionals, like, yes, all does good grades and everything like that, but fucks around as everything like that. Like, because he can, because everyone loves him. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Okay.
That's fucking Cyclops. Like, he knows, especially now, so like, he's a Summers, he can come back from the dead. He's not fussed about it. He's not insecure about it now. His wives and girlfriends keep dying and coming back. He's like, whatever. They all fucking love a bit of this. Like, you, whatever.
It's gotten to his head.
But it's also, I find it really, it is really sexy because it's really interesting because he is trying to do the right thing. He's not trying to be a dick for the sake of it.
Yeah.
But he's also hot and powerful and he's like the leader of the X-Men and always has been. So it just kind of like...
Even though his power is still kind of meh.
It's shit. It's a shit power.
He's like a one trick pony kind of thing, which is why I feel like they had sort of write in. Also, he's a master tactician or whatever, just to say he's really good at organizing the troops and really good at being a leader, just because his shooting eye blasts was too boring.
But they've evolved him really well. Like they could have left him being the goody two shoes, but then with the affair with Emma Frost, and then when he was like the rebellion, that sort of stuff. So I'm not a Cyclops fan, but I think the way they've made him grow up was good. I preferred him with Emma Frost and when he was then post Emma Frost, because now he's just back with Jean. It's just going to become like bleh. The one I want to talk about, it was peak 90s. So
wait, are you still talking about Cyclops?
Yes, we're still talking about Cyclops. Okay. I'm talking about like a moment in my sexual awakening because he's always been there and it's whatever. It's not really interesting. This was just after Age of Apocalypse. They were up. Why were the fuck were they on Asteroid M? I can't remember. They crashed down to Earth, and this issue is about them trying to find Cyclops has been crashed down, and the people who are listening to this, if you know what I'm, they immediately know what I'm talking about. He crashed down in the desert with some of Magneto's followers. Jean crashed down somewhere else, and Professor X can't find him. They're trying to find him, so he's trying to guide them through the desert so they don't die and so they can contact the X-Men. It's like a throwaway issue. Like, nothing happens in it apart from we're trying to find Cyclops. Oh, we found him. Stay with me. But so they're wandering around what turns out to be the Australian outback, and he's leading like four or five acolytes with him. And of course, well, please let me find a good one. Please let me find a good one. Wait a minute. And of course, because it's the 90s or because whatever they want to do.
It's in the hot Australian sun and they have no clothes on.
He's just walking around. Oh my God, fuck you, you fucking mouse. He is just walking around in ripped jeans looking like this. Ba-dong.
What? Oh my gosh. Ripped jeans.
Ripped jeans some more.
And there's a big spurt of water behind him.
Okay. Let me tell you about this. So this is where you first see him. I need to open this.
There's some water for you. Drink it.
Okay, so they're in the desert and they're like, we're going to die of thirst, Cyclops. What the fuck are you talking about? What's the hell? What the hell's the point of all this if we just die of thirst? And so he's like, oh, I found a... Basically, he uses his optic blast to kind of like shoot into the ground and find like a natural well. But the writing in is like, he fires his optic blast into the ground. And then the description is pounding deeper and deeper into the dry, dusty ground until the ground ejaculates water. And it is, I obviously didn't pick that up when I was a kid, but when I was rereading it this afternoon, I was like, that is the most graphic, filthy, ejaculate thing I've ever seen. It's so fucking brilliant.
They must have known.
Oh, they absolutely knew. But it was just like, again, it's the casualness of it. He's like, yeah, we're lost in the desert, so I won't have my top on. And I'm just going to walk around just being topless and everything like that.
Because why not?
Because why wouldn't you? I think I've got some more.
Okay.
Just in case I make this into a video for TikToks. Let's that one. That makes sense. So yeah, just the whole, yeah, I'm in my ripped jeans and my top off. That kind of pure, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Accidental nakedness. But it was also, it's like, oh, you know, Cyclops, like, yeah, the goody two shoes. Look at what he's like when he's got his clothes off.
Yeah.
Like, look at that. That's what Jean sleeps with. It's like, remember that. Okay. It's like, he keeps it chill. Like, he wears his like Lycra stuff during the day, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Remember, that's what's underneath it. Don't get all excited about 5'2" Logan. This is the important thing we need to remember that he looks like.
And like Jean Grey can see into his mind as well and still accepts him, so.
Again, Jean never used the slutty stuff the way that Emma did. Like, Emma knew everything.
Oh, yeah.
She could push all the nerve centers of his brain and everything like that. That's whatever. Yeah, and circling back, this is probably the wrong way around. I should have done this first. This is again from, oh, that's not the right one. These are just like pages, panels. So in the 80s, obviously, he meets Madeline Pryor and he gets married. And it's supposed to be like him being written off the books. Like, look, he gets married and eventually has a kid. That's
what do you mean written off the books? Like the creators wanted to write him off the books?
Yeah, Chris Claremont, like after Jean was dead, they're like, let's get rid of Cyclops, blah, blah, blah. So yeah. They get married and in true Claremont style, it's like, let's have an entire issue dedicated to Scott going on his honeymoon. And so it's just him and Madeline and like the plane crashes and stuff, that sort of stuff. Nothing happens as a shark and whatever, that sort of thing. But it's just an excuse. Look at wait. This is a shot of him from behind. Look at him in his 1980s booty denim shorts. Like, they are so tiny.
Oh my gosh. I took your breath away. Bet you never realized I was an incorrigible romantic. Incorrigible something, that's for sure.
Oh, I love it.
I took your breath away.
It's that so, but did. His outfit, I like Colossus at the beginning, his outfit is so 80s, like teeny tiny denim shorts, because that's just what we wore in the 80s. And it's like, here he is, and he's just rippling with muscle behind this nice guy who just got married. Yeah. It's like, nope. And he's just in those the whole issue. And it's a dull issue, but man, did I read the shit out of that.
Let me read this panel over and over. I read that over
a
lot. Again.
And there's like one bit where he's like struggling with a squid and he's like shooting it off the blast. Well, of course he is. It's a giant squid that attacks the ship. Obviously. It's like, put its tentacle over his eyes and he's like shooting his optic blast through it. And, you know, action. All I can see is like he's doing that and you can see his nipple right at the bottom.
Okay.
He drew the nipple in and he's like muscular like that. I'm like,
yeah. If only we had like cameras back then, we'd take a photo of that. It'd be in the background of your phone. Gymspiration nipples.
It might still be my gymspiration. Cyclops' nipples.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. So hang on, Madeline. So he didn't get written out. Side note.
No, he kind of did. So he went off and he kept coming back a little bit and that sort of thing. But he went off and got married and had a baby, and that was supposed to be the end of it. But then the editors were like, "We're going to bring Jean back." So that, and so they did X Factor and made him go back to it. So he ditched Madeline. He's like, "Oh, Jean's back. Bye." And literally walked out on him. And so she went crazy and tried to kill everyone. So
Madeline Pryor did.
Yes.
As you would.
I will defend Madeline Pryor to my last breath. Like she was
so
right.
If she ended up being a clone of Jean Grey, does she have her powers then as well? Sorry,
I'm so glad you asked. It's off topic, but I do love to talk about it, and they do cover it, and it was actually pre-established, and it works perfectly. Well done, Chris. Jean Grey got her powers when she was 10, when her best friend Annie got hit by a car in front of her. Like, they were playing Frisbee, and Annie got hit by a car, so she was with her when she died, and that's what triggered her telepathic power, because she was so emotionally scarred and and she connected with her. And so she was in telepathic contact with her as Annie died at 10. Gosh. So she went catatonic, and that's how Professor X eventually found her and started working with her to bring her back, to close off her powers so that she could come back and be normal. Without that event sparking it off, obviously Madeline didn't, because she was just made full adult size. Nothing triggered her powers until she made a deal with the devil. So now she does have powers, but she didn't then.
Okay. Well, so that's the telepathy, but what about the telekinesis?
Yeah, it kind of matches all with it.
Okay,
don't worry about
the longest one.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Okay, you can't have one without the other. Don't worry about it.
Okay, okay then.
But then she makes a deal with the devil and gets magical powers, and that power's back. But she was also like part Phoenix. So anyway, this is not what this is about. I will happily talk about Madeline Pryor.
That's a happy little side note. Day.
I will happily talk about all the people that Cyclops has fucked and ditched. Another time.
Let's make an episode about Cyclops' penis and where.
Yes! If you would like an entire episode about Cyclops' penis, write in to incompletegeekspodcast@gmail.com.
It's just one penis, so he's no Nightcrawler, but we'll still.
No, but he's been places.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. That is my first list. I have others. Oh, I wanted to do Havoc as well, but I haven't got the screenshots. I will do that another time.
Okay.
I could talk about it.
That's a good list. I like these. You obviously did more prep than I did.
At the front of my mind. I will briefly mention Havoc because he works with Madeline Pryor as well. And there was, because do you know Madeline did the Goblin Queen outfit?
Nope. I don't remember. I barely remember.
So she became evil and she turned into the Goblin Queen.
After Scott split up with her.
Yeah. So yeah, again, I don't blame her. And it's a fabulous outfit, but basically it's just like a top and it just goes over her boob, but like all the under boob is out. Oof. And she's in a bikini bottom and a cape, right? So very impractical.
Yeah.
But she looks fucking amazing, especially on the front cover of one. She's like holding up the thing like that, like her cape, and she's like quite vampire-y queen, but like
okay,
amazing. She looks amazing. Cyclops' brother is with her on the team because they're separated from the X-Men. They're out in a different team, so he's with her all the time, and they fall in love. And so when she goes crazy, he goes over with Madeline rather than standing with Cyclops, because fuck Cyclops, you're hot, sure, or whatever. And so she like turns his full black outfit into a version of hers. And so he has like the titty top where it's like it's cut off and you just see under peck and pant, and it's
on Havoc.
On Havoc, yeah.
That's
because
fantastic.
It's like matching him, and he's like the goblin prince, and he's like serving her, and it's so subbed on the way Chris Claremont loves to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's got like under boob out and then just tiny, tiny pants. Wonderful.
So
looked at that panel a lot.
I'll bet you did.
A lot.
And now the world knows.
Well, there's people listening, if you've read comics, you will agree and will have done that already. So
it's okay. The same. Yeah, fine. I'm sure if I was more of a comic book reader when I was growing up, I probably would have found these or found my own sort of things anyway.
It was
but
just...
I grew up on a farm. I didn't have access to comic books.
I grew up on a desert island. I had access to comics. Okay. You were in America.
You were in a big city.
It's a desert island. It was not a city. Anyway, the casual toplessness, it was just kind of like back in the 90s. It was... all we had to kind of, it's like looking at the underwear aisle or occasionally taping Baywatch and that sort of stuff. It's like, you'll get your little glimpse of flesh wherever you can. And because we didn't have the internet and we were underage, so we probably couldn't look at the rude stuff on the internet, even if we did have it, you'll take whatever you get. And it makes such an impression on you because that's all you have.
Yeah.
And so it was these panels of where Colossus shows up in his underpants. And you're like,
what? A man who is wearing very little. Oh, just the thought of it. Like, it's good that we don't have images on this, because then we can say to people who are listening, you know, the way that we're describing it. Like, imagine you're a young, you know, burgeoning gay, and you see an image. I remember those things that triggered me as well. When I was, like, growing up, I would sort of see, you know, a man with some skin showing and not know why I was being attracted to this image.
We just took whatever we can get, a little bit of skin, and it you fucking lose your mind. Yeah. So that was comics for me.
Cool. Yeah.
That's what did it.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So those are the first sex men I want to talk about.
Sex men. Sex men.
Anything else? Those are some of the thirstiest, horniest, hottest X-Men, the 80s and 90s, that I encountered that were part of my childhood growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear about yours. If you're an X-Men fan or
me too.
Other comics. I can't imagine Avengers or Fantastic Four was sexy, but maybe
DC
Peter Parker
comics?
Was in his pants. Maybe
do other comics exist? I don't remember. Was Batman in his pants?
maybe DC had sexier kind of characters walking around casually. Do you like overtly like the ones who just don't wear tops? Or like Namor and everything like that? Or do you like the casual, you just caught me in my dressing gown kind of vibes? What was more kind of your thing?
Yeah. Because they're both completely valid.
Oh, absolutely. I love both, but it was just...
I want to hear about it.
What I got in the 90s. So we'd love to hear about it. Tell us, and we'll do another episode if there's a particular character or time or anything like that, comic book wise. Let us know. Like we said, write in. Our email address is incompletegeekspodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach out to me directly on Twitter. I'm @NickBakerGeek. If you'd like to talk about any of this stuff with John, he doesn't know anything about it, but he'll
not
be
really,
happy to listen.
Mm-hmm,
He's on Instagram @JohnMarks, @JONMARX.
Yes, and we have a TikTok as well.
We do. Incomplete Geeks.
You should follow us on TikTok because we
you
post
should.
Funny stuff.
And
@Incomplete Geeks. Yeah, comment.
Do all that
Even
stuff.
If you disagree, I will.
Please do. We'd love to hear from you. Also, like if you're listening to this, give us a rating, give us a share, give us a follow, that sort of stuff on Spotify, Apple Podcast. It really does help the podcast out a lot. We really, really, really appreciate it.
Definitely.
That's some of the thirsty characters. I'm sure there's lots more. I'm sure there's other characters. There's other comic book lines. God forbid, there's other comic book companies. I haven't cover them all. I'm really sorry, but as we say many times, and we're not complete geeks,
but we are working on it.
Thanks for listening.
Bye
bye bye. Don't